Some of the big wigs in the music industry are saying that the artist is dead because you all are getting lost on playlists and nobody's feeling the artist anymore. This is what the big wigs are saying, and I say this is complete bullshit.
Welcome to the club!
This is a show dedicated to helping singers, songwriters, and indie artists like you get leverage in the music industry. That's what you're going to need to get ahead, people. You're going to need a track record. You got to prove that what you do has value and that people want it. Your talent, your potential, not good enough anymore. You got to make it work. It's the application of that talent. That's why we called this podcast The Climb, C-L-I-M-B, Creating Leverage in the Music Business. That is a Baxter from a good friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Baxter. Brent's an award-winning hit songwriter with cuts by Alan Jackson, Randy Travis, Lady A, Joe Nichols, and more. Got a couple number ones last year. Just wrote what I think is a number one with some climbers, which I like, and some people from Songwriting Pro. I'm digging that. What I love about Brent, though, is he's going to help you. He's going to help songwriters like you become pro by revealing how you write like a pro, do business like a pro, and on the regular, he's going to connect you with the pro so you can make that connection, shake that hand, climb that ladder. You can find Brent very easily at songwritingpro.com. Once again, that's songwritingpro.com.
And I'd like to introduce my potty mouth co-host, Johnny Twinnell. Johnny owns Daredevil Production. They're breaking artists digitally by identifying new fans through data. Listen, if you're an artist looking to increase your streams, blow up your video views, sell more live show tickets, and get discovered by new fans, TV, and music industry pros, then Daredevil Production can help. Daredevil has worked with multi-platinum artists like Colin Ray, Tracy Lawrence, Ty Herndon, and Andy Griggs, just to name a few. You can find Johnny at daredevilproduction.com. That is production, singular, no S, and there is no S because there is no other. Johnny D.
What's happening, brother?
Man, not much. It was just fun to get to do the Welcome to the Climb. That was fun.
That's your first time.
That was my first time. I'm very bad at it, but that's, you know, it was a moment of desperation.
Well, thank you for saving us from certain hell or something.
I don't know.
Anyway, so today, man, we're going to unpack a Music Business Worldwide article that I posted in The Climb about a week ago, and I've been waiting with bated breath to do this episode because there's so many things to unpack here. Mm-hmm. They're spelling doom and gloom for the artists. They're talking about AI artists, and AI music, which is creepy and weird, but yeah. But true, I got some thoughts on that. I'm sure you do too, Brent. And so we're going to get into that in this episode. But first, let's take care of a couple of things. Got a little business here. Mm-hmm. We're proud and thankful to be on American Songwriter Magazine's podcast network, guys. If you have always been a climber and we brought you here to American Songwriter, check out the network. Check out the other shows. They're killer. And if you found us through American Songwriter Podcast Network, welcome to the climb.
That's right.
Right? Welcome to the climb. We're glad to have you here. Secondly, join the climb community. This is a great little thriving community. Lots of activity going on, lots of information going back and forth. Co-writes getting hooked up, successful co-writes getting hooked up, by the way. Not just your normal co-write, like co-writes that turn out to get syncs and money and relationships and all kinds of good stuff. Even across the pond. Mm-hmm. Like these are across the world, across the globe. It's cool. And typically when we go in there to answer a question somebody asked, there's already a bunch of answers on there. And I'm just like literally with the thumb up, finger up emoji, like what they said. Like, that's right. When it comes to promotion, promoting your music, promoting this, promoting that, songwriting, music business stuff. We've got some great people on here with some great knowledge. And if you got a question, ask it in there. We want you to come and join us. You got to ask to be let in, but we let everybody in. And just be good boys and girls. You know, post stuff in there that's relevant to the audience. Don't post your own stuff. We have places for you to post your own
stuff.
That's
right.
And post them there.
That's right. That's we don't spam, we jam.
That's right.
We don't spam, we jam.
That's right. That's right. All killer, no filler.
Exactly. And speaking of jamming, every Wednesday we have our New Heights segment. So it's where we encourage you to share your wins under that post so we can celebrate together. So I want to share a couple of those real quick. Randy England, climber, says, this is a legit height. Last night I got called up at Pitch Meeting, which is an event in Nashville, and played, I guess, a song called Deeper. Basically backed by Lindsay L's band. They are so good. The response made me feel I'm going in the right direction and made me want to tour. pitch meeting is so great. Awesome. So way to go, Randy, getting that positive feedback. Yeah. We'll take full credit, and though I had nothing to do with it. See, another one here from Roger Fournier, or Fournier, says, my first ever co-write with my good friend, ex-bandmate Shane Willis. We finished a great song. This was a cool experience as we went back and forth several times until it hit us both that that's it. Look forward to more co-writes this year. So congrats, Roger, on stretching the boundaries. And you too, Randy, for, both those are chances they could have gone the other way, right? Randy could have got up and played, and it turned up not going over well, not getting the response he wanted. Roger could have sat down and co-stared instead of co-written with his ex-bandmate, and it could have been really awkward for both of them. But they took that chance. You don't get those wins unless you take that chance. You got to risk a loss to take a win. And really, it's not really a loss anyway. It's you win or you learn, right? We don't lose. We win or we learn.
Yeah,
but
you got to risk vulnerability.
You got to make yourself a little vulnerable. So applaud both Randy and Roger for, stepping out, doing the deal. Good job.
There you go. Good deal. Well, subscribe to the podcast. Smash that subscribe button.
Smash it.
So that you get all the episodes wherever you like to consume your podcasts. And that way you can go through and cherry pick. You don't miss one. You know what I'm saying? And leave a rating and review wherever you do listen to those podcasts. We're trying to get to 200. So we appreciate that. We read them all on the air. And finally, tell a friend about it. I mean, you guys, listen, we're very, very grateful. We don't take this lightly, how much time you spend with us every week. It means the world to us. Mm-hmm. And you're not doing it to make us feel good. You're doing it because you're getting something out of it. Let's just be honest. That's love, right? Okay. And if you're getting something out of it, then by all means, tell a friend, turn them on to it. Because listen, the numbers don't lie. It's like once we get you in a couple episodes and people just start binging it.
Yep. That's right.
All right. So let's get to this article here
in
Music Business Worldwide. This upset me.
It's going to ruffle some feathers?
Well, I think so, maybe a little bit. But you know what? It ruffled mine. I'll tell you that. And I think there's so many truths that are in this article. I think this speaks to we have to remember what we read is a perspective, right? And I believe that this person is being absolutely truthful about their perspective. I respect exactly what they're saying, but I see the opportunity in here as well.
So you believe they're being honest. You just don't know if they're being accurate.
I think they're being honest. Well, let's twist this up more. I think they're being honest. I think they're being accurate. But their comments and their experience with this is a byproduct of them not honoring the digital platform.
Okay.
So I think that they're being honest, they're being accurate, and everything is absolutely true. But if they just pivoted a little bit, instead of doing what they've always done, they would be having a different conversation. So we're going to unpack that. It's all good for artists.
Let's do it.
The title of this article came out March 9th, 2021. It says, "The Death of the Artist? Why Big Hit and BTS Just Raised the Alarm on the Record Industry's Future." So BTS is that huge K-pop band.
Yeah, Korean pop group. If you watch the Grammys, which apparently not many people did, but they performed on there and they're big deal.
Yeah, here's how big of a deal they are and how crappy the Grammys are was that they had a live watch party on social media of them watching the Grammys, and that audience was just as big as the Grammys.
Just as many people watch BTS watch the Grammys as watched the Grammys.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's real. That happened. So here we are. So here's a quote. "I think we're seeing the death of the artist. Songs are fully alive." That's good news, right? Songs are fully alive.
I'll take that. Okay.
"But I think we're hitting a point in time where it's going to be more and more difficult to have follow-up hits for an artist. I see it happening." That's the quote. Earlier this month, Out Magazine ran a thought-provoking interview with Milk and Honey CEO and founder Lucas Keller, in which he shared the above quote. "Keller knows the business of hits intimately. His company represents songwriters and producers who have created or co-created oodles of smash records for superstars like Demi Lovato, Cardi B, The Chainsmokers, Justin Bieber, Megan Thee Stallion, and Dua Lipa. His words arrived as news that Spotify now sees 60,000 tracks uploaded to its service every day."
Whew.
Buzzed in the background. Okay. Yeah. 60,000 tracks a day.
Wow.
Keller commented, "There are so many songs. Where we're going with music is it's going to be increasingly difficult to be an artist where fans are apathetic to who the artist is.
Empathetic.
They just love a song that was on the playlist.
So don't care about, they don't know the artist, they don't care about the artist, but I like that song. Who did it? I don't know.
So just, that's the first freaking paragraph of this article, okay? Brent, what does that tell you about, what do you pull out of that, just right off the
bat? I mean, in a sense, it reminds me when I was a kid, I didn't know what songs, who the artists were, but I liked certain songs.
Mm-hmm.
There's that one hit wonder game. You try to name the artist. Like, I'll tell you the title. You try to tell me the artist. Flock of Seagulls. Who? You know?
Yeah.
So it reminds me of that time where I wasn't into artists and stuff, but certain artists maybe, but mainly it was just like, oh, this song's on the radio. It's in the top 40. I like it. And I don't know really or care or grasp who the artist is. So I think about that, but I also think knowing what we know now, it's like, it's all about, well, kind of like you said, honoring the platform. Yeah. You got to build that relationship with your fans. That's how you sustain a career as an artist is it's not just about putting out singles. It's about capturing those fans that do like what you've done in the past. So it builds a floor that you can then build more on, I guess. You got to capture it. If all you're doing is a Spotify playlist and you don't somehow get them somewhere else so you can start a conversation with them, then yeah, I could see that being true because it's just a fire hose.
Yeah.
You know, it's leaves floating by in a river. And if I don't pick a leaf out, it's gone. Right. So that's kind of what I think about.
That's it. I think you touched on a lot of the stuff that I want to touch on here. I mean,
I've been listening to The Climb for a while, Johnny. Long time listener, first time co-host.
Long time, first time caller.
Or something. Long time host, first time caller.
Listen, you have to remember how to honor the digital platform. And this is something that I've been saying for a while, the record industry doesn't know how to do yet. Okay, they are experts at the broadcast platform. This is a 100-year-old industry that has created artistic intellectual property, and they know exactly how to promote that artistic intellectual property on broadcast platforms, which is one to many. And the digital platform is one to one. That's a completely different animal with a completely different saddle. It takes different food. If you don't treat it differently, then you do so at your own peril. And here we have the results of this. On one hand, Spotify sees 60,000 tracks uploaded every single day. Wow, that's a lot. There's so much noise. Yeah, but you know what? Those 60,000 tracks, five of them are going on the big playlist for Spotify because they came from the labels.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to think about the perspective of the person sitting across the table when you're trying to unpack this and get your head around it. Okay, the labels know broadcast, right? That's what they know. Mm-hmm. They don't know digital. The proof positive, as we've said before in past episodes, look at Hollywood is a very similar industry with a very different product, but very similar in the fact it's about the same age as the music industry, and they create artistic intellectual property, albeit different kinds of artistic intellectual property. Mm-hmm. And they've always broadcast or promoted that, they promoted that artistic intellectual property on broadcast platforms. Now, just recently, just very recently, Hollywood's figured out that, you know what? We should be streaming our own titles because it's our intellectual property. Our intellectual property creates traffic, like Friends. Mm-hmm. The TV show Friends creates traffic to whatever server we put it on. Mm-hmm. So why don't we put it on our own server? And why don't we get to know the people who are looking at it, which is the polar opposite of the way broadcasts work. We're going to put it on this platform. We have millions of people that watch it. We're going to make it super popular. And the more traffic that we get, then the more we get to charge for ads. But we have no idea that you're Brent Baxter and you're a family of five. And this is what you like to watch, what you don't like to watch.
Right.
They have no data. So you saw Spotify. If Netflix is the Spotify of Hollywood, you saw Netflix start to make their own content because they realized that they only existed at the pleasure of the rights holders. And
it's a good thing they did because everybody's pulling stuff off.
Yeah. So, you know, NBC's got their own streaming service. Disney, which is ABC, they have their own streaming service. Mm-hmm. CBS, which is now Paramount, has their own streaming service. HBO has its own streaming service. And so not only are they getting 100% of the revenue for all the traffic that they create, which is smart.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what they should be getting. They're also getting the data. They know who the customer is. Mm-hmm. But think about who the customer, who's always been the customer of the record labels. The record labels have always made a product, whether it was a 45 or an acetone or a record or an 8-track or a cassette tape or a CD. The records, they've made they made products, and who did they sell their products to? Who was the customer of the record labels for most of their 100-year existence? It wasn't you and me buying CDs or buying records. We're the end user, but mm-hmm. you never sent your money to Warner Music or Sony
right.
when you bought a CD or to Universal. No, you paid the distributor. And so the distributor paid the money to the labels. So who's always been the label's customer? That's going to be Walmart, mm-hmm. Sam Goody, Musicland, Tower Records, the mom and pop record shops, mm-hmm. Best Buy, Target, Kmart. These were the distributors. That's when the record labels got checks in the mail that they cashed to pay the people that work for the record label. That's where those checks came from.
Mm-hmm.
Those companies, they Let's never came way. From you and me.
You know whose phone number that, I don't know, Arista Records had when I'd go out and buy an Alan Jackson record in the 90s? And still yeah. do. But whose phone number did they have? Did they have mine? No. You know whose phone number they had? The record stores. They had their phone number and address. Store. They knew how to find them. They knew all That's about right. them. But they didn't know a thing about me.
And so it's never been in the DNA of the music business to know who the end user is.
Mm-hmm.
And they still don't know. So Spotify comes along, right? And that feels like a brand new way of doing business, the same old way. Because Spotify knows who you are, knows your mm-hmm. credit card information, knows your name, knows your billing address, knows what you listened to, what you didn't listen to, what you saved, what you skipped, mm-hmm. right? They have all that behavior and all that data stored up. Do they share consumption information with the labels? Absolutely. Yeah. Do we know it's Brent Baxter who likes Alan Jackson?
Yeah, but they don't know those particulars. Yeah.
Nope. They don't know your name. So do you see how the music industry is still far behind? Well, Spotify feels like radio to them.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be real. If you've been reading the news, streaming, and when I say Spotify, I mean all streaming services, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, streaming is bringing the record business out of the depths of despair from the revenue that it creates. So why wouldn't they be focused on this? But you know what I see? I see where we're going with music. It's going to be increasingly difficult to be an artist where fans are apathetic to who the artist is. They just love the song that was on a playlist. What does that say? That tells me that playlist promotion is a waste of your time in terms of discovery. Can it make money? Yes. If you do some blood, sweat, and tears work, like in episode 200 of our podcast, where we interviewed our intern, and she talked about how her and her friend from Belmont, through just blood, sweat, and tears, and I think less than 100 hours, got 675,000 streams on her friend who's an artist's song on Spotify. Okay.
Yeah.
That made money, that generated revenue, but they didn't pay to do that the way that you would pay, let's say, for radio promotion or right. for PR or something like that. So streaming can make you money. That's where most of the money in terms of the labels is coming from right now. But it's also true at the same time that this is proof positive that when I tell you I know artists who have 12 million streams and can't sell out my office,
mm-hmm.
this is what this guy's saying is happening yeah. to his artists. But it's because they're focusing on it the wrong way. And it makes sense why they're focusing on it, right? Because this is where the money needs to be. We need to get these artists on playlists
right.
because we need to make money right now. And they still haven't cracked the code. Now, here's the other thing that I want you to consider before we go farther in this article. You know, from this gentleman's perspective, and let's just say he's like every bigwig record executive that's out there right now, the waters are muddy for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's understandable why they don't clearly see what I see in terms of how the digital platform works, because when we invented social media, they all had multi-million dollar brand name artists. And if you're a multi-million dollar brand name artist before social media, where did you get your audience, Brent?
Manned radio?
Yeah, broadcast platforms. Yeah. You were on MTV or CMT or BET.
The Tonight Show or...
And you were on TV. And you were on radio. And you were touring your butt off. Okay, the touring, broadcast audiences. I'm not saying any of these are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am saying is they're not digital. Digital's consumed one-to-one. Okay? And so this doesn't work like that. Clearly. I mean, the Beatles did 5 songs on Ed Sullivan, 73 million people watched, and their one of the most famous bands on the planet because they had that kind of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And they were good. Don't get me wrong. They were
right,
amazing.
Yeah.
They were the Beatles, but still they had that kind of exposure. And you've got more people than that on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have 5, 10, 20, 50 million streams of your song, but it's not the same platform, right? So the discoverability from streaming is non-existent right now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that changes a little bit. Maybe they make some tweaks, but it's non-existent. So if you have budget in your promo, I think you work hard to do everything you can to be smart to get the streams happening on Spotify so that you can maybe trigger an algorithm and get on a editorial playlist that's going to pay you out because you're going to make money there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've proven with other artists that if you want to be discovered, you're going to need to be pushing out the video content.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to be pushing out the regular content and working your social media channels like a network to create that relationship. So the bigwig executives who had the multi-million dollar artists, when we invented social media, all their artists who already had audiences, big, huge audiences, jumped on the platforms and their audience naturally followed them over. So the stuff that the artists used to do on broadcast platforms that works on digital platforms for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Taylor Swift does nothing but look at me, 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 here's another picture of me, here's another picture of me, here's a picture of my cat.
Right.
That's content that is smart on her part. It's relevant, valid, and personal to her audience because they know who she is and they love her.
Right.
But you can't break that way. If that's an unknown artist feed, we think that's obnoxious, right?
Yeah.
So this is what I mean by the difference in it. So I think that, I mean, when was the last time, Brent, that you saw Sony or Warner or Universal push out a video through a paid ad in your social media feed?
Nothing springs to mind.
I don't see it that often. I've seen it, but I don't see it that often. And when I do see it, what are they doing? They're promoting a single, right? And so they're promoting a single the way they would promote a single on a broadcast platform. And so they're pushing that for 6 months and then you don't see that. But I will tell you this. It mentions in this article that this guy's company has worked with songwriters and producers who have worked with the Chainsmokers. The Chainsmokers broke on digital before they got a deal. I don't think the Chainsmokers would say that they have a hard time being an artist. Their audience knows exactly who they are because they know how to honor the platform.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, you're giving me so many, I have so many thoughts going on, Johnny. So many thoughts.
I know, it's a lot, right? Like, I mean, that's the first friggin' paragraph of the article, by the way.
Like, I'm missing half of what you're saying because I'm devising my own ideas on things here. So, sorry. Yeah.
Well, you want to comment on one of them right now?
I'm thinking of the streaming services because the studios, NBC, ABC, they made this content, or HBO or Warner Brothers movies, they made this content and then they started distributing them through Netflix. Okay, now, so Netflix is like Spotify. They're taking other people's, you know, Warner Brothers and Sony's and UMG or whatever, taking their content and streaming it, and that's how they make their money. Now they're starting to pull that stuff away and go, no, we're going to have our own Disney platform with Disney content. We're going to open up the vault. We're going to make our own original stuff, and we're going to do that, and HBO Max and all these different places. They're like, this is our stuff. So now the only place you're going to get the Disney stuff on streaming after it eventually comes out of the other places is going to be Disney Plus. That's the only place you can get it. All right. So where does that leave Netflix? I ain't worried about Netflix. You know, what does that mean for me as a creator? Like, okay, so musically, does this mean at some point, since music is lagging behind Hollywood on this, I think, is it going to be like Warner Brothers Records says, we're going to have Warner Radio, but it's a streaming thing. And maybe we pull our people off. Maybe we don't, but maybe we have exclusive content you can't get. That may be an in-between thing. Hey, I don't know what label Drake's on, but okay, Drake dropped 85 songs this week. But you know what? You can get 40 of them on Spotify, but the other 45, you got to come to Warner Radio.
Yeah.
So then they get your device ID. They learn more about you. They may even have special thing. Of course, recommendations, you're hearing all Warner artists. So that's all streaming for them. They'll have to monetize that in other ways because Spotify does it with either memberships. You know, you either pay, subscribe, or they pay for it through ad content. So you have to figure out how that money's made. But also, you're putting the recommendations. Like Netflix shows me other stuff I may be interested in. Spotify shows me other stuff I may be interested in. Well, they can do that too based on my listening habits and stuff. And I'm just wondering, are they going to have their own? So I'll have universal.
That's where it has to go. And I'll tell you why. So let's go down that rabbit hole. Let's look at Hollywood right now, because to your point, and this is what's really, really, really important in terms of what you can charge, right? NBC only has NBC stuff on NBC.
Right.
Disney only has ABC and Disney stuff on the Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. CBS Paramount only has CBS and Paramount stuff there. So all three of those streaming services have different content.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, and so
if you're a superhero fan and you want to watch Justice League and the Avengers, you got to be on two different platforms.
Yeah, and you know what? People are.
Yeah, they
okay?
are.
Okay. Yeah. Because they want that content, because they own that traffic.
Because people are doing that instead of paying for like 200 channels and they only watch three of them.
Exactly.
It's more the a la carte
exactly.
thing.
And what's the difference between that and the music industry, the way the music industry is set up right now? What's the difference between what you can access on Spotify versus what you can access on Amazon versus what you can access on Apple Music?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's all the
same.
They
might have like Spotify originals, like only, for, you know, we had them come into the Spotify studio and do a special acoustic version.
Yeah, but largely speaking, that, 90, but that's, 99, but that's never going to change.
That's not what's bringing people over.
Like, so if it's all the same stuff, right? To your point, like if you want to watch Avengers and you want to watch like
Justice League or Aquaman or something,
Justice League or something like that, then you're going to pay for both.
Yeah.
Because you want both, right? Mm-hmm. Now, because I can get both on any streaming service in the music industry, what's my biggest...
I'm shopping on price, Johnny.
I'm shopping on price. It's commoditized, right? So now think about what most of the streaming services charge. It's like right around like $8 to $12 a month is what the streaming service charge. Now, how many different labels...
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Are getting paid out of that $8 to $12 a month, wow. Right? You got three majors, you got a boatload of really significant indie labels, and then you've got a boatload of medium indie labels. So could Universal come out with their own streaming service at, you know, $4.99 a month and make more money?
Well, because a lot of these are owned by big multi conglomerates that, you know, Warner Brothers Records, Warner Brothers doing HBO Max, who's owned by somebody else. I don't know, some phone company or something.
But all three major labels and all the indie labels are not owned by any one conglomerate.
Right, yeah. So they have separate.
So my point is that if they have that separated, then they can charge different fees for that. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be that, you know, maybe cumulatively you end up getting to $20 a month or $25 a month for access to every single song ever known to man. Like, that's not a bad price, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe you keep it down to 15 because you've decided I like these artists and this is where I'm gonna sit.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But you know what? There's more money going to the label And then there's what? More money going to the artists mm-hmm. and more money going to the writers. You see where I'm going with this? Mm-hmm. And there's no middleman.
Yeah, because I've been following like some of the Disney Plus stuff. And you, with COVID, they've done some day and date. So a movie will go out to the theaters and same day it's available on streaming.
Yeah.
So I think Wonder Woman did that where it's in theaters, but we're also making it available day of on streaming because COVID and stuff. And we're hoping to up our subscribers to HBO Max. And so they see those numbers and some stuff may bomb at the theater because of current world conditions, but they're like, oh, but streaming, we kept the, like Warner Max say, kept 100% of that. Theater, you go pay uh-huh. $10 for a ticket or whatever, $12. Well, they split that with the theater, right? Like half of it, yeah. for, you know, now you pay.
And they don't get concessions they, and.
Yeah. yeah. And so the theater's making a lot of money, but the product.
And you don't get the data. You don't get the data.
They have no idea what movies I've been to. No idea.
Yep.
But if they put it on HBO Max or whatever, then they know which accounts are watching it. But also if they do it like, hey, it's a premiere, it's $30. You watch it at your house, bring everybody over you want to, right? They've done that with some stuff. And we yeah. keep all $30. All of it stays in-house. It's way more
yeah.
profitable
yeah.
for them. And yeah. so what's the music version of that? So say if Universal has their own music streaming service, what about these smaller? There's the economies of scale. So the overhead cost, the mm-hmm. price of entry is way high if you're going to have a streaming service. That's a lot of tech. That's a lot of infrastructure. How does a smaller label do that? I bet what they do is they probably do brand partnerships. Like, you know, we have these major artists. We have Universal Catalog, and we also partner with Rounder Records for their catalog. Like, yeah. we'll work out a deal for partnership because that's valuable. It adds something to our portfolio. So we'll share in that. It's valuable mm-hmm. for Rounder because they get to be on a massive platform. I bet some of that stuff would work out for, or if there's an indie artist who blows up. Like Lil Nas X, independent. If you have something that blows up, all of a sudden you're mm-hmm. in a bidding war. No, come join our service. No, join our service. No, join our service. Let's work out a deal.
Yeah.
There's a label.
That's here, right. Now it's more of a JV kind of thing.
Independent,
with the artist.
I'm joining your streaming service. I'm not joining your label. I'm joining your streaming service. And we'll reassess. I'll be a free yep. agent here in a year. I mean,
yeah.
So it just
a lot more power going to the artist. A lot more power. Well, that's already happening. I mean, there's already labels that are. Mm-hmm. That's the way they're structured initially is like, hey, this is going to be a JV right out of the box. We're not yeah. offering you a 360 deal. We're going to say, no, we want to help you market this together. We're going to make some money mm-hmm. and we're going to make you so happy that you're going to want to stay here because the artists own the traffic.
Yeah.
The artists own the traffic.
If you own the traffic, what do? You rule the road.
Yeah. You rule the road. And so does that first paragraph in that article talk so much about traffic? I mean, they're talking about like disappearing in a playlist.
Yeah.
It's because they're not promoting the artists on the digital platform the way they should. What they are doing is promoting on the thing that's making them the most money right now. I get that.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't mean that you can't turn around, spend some of that money and create your own awareness of the artist and the image of the artist and the videos and all that stuff. You know, working with that. Like, and by the way, if you have your own streaming service, and I know that you keep repeating this one song on a playlist that we're doing, because I can see that because I have the data, because I own the label mm-hmm. and the label has their own streaming service, then I can target you specifically for, hey, you're going to like the video that goes with this too. You see how that disconnect happens?
Here's the t-shirt.
Because there's...
Here's the industry.
Exactly. There's a middleman. There's a middleman. I can target you specifically on tour. When mm-hmm. my artist goes out on tour, hey, this song that you love, we're coming through on tour on this date. Get your tickets right here. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, this is all the stuff that isn't happening in the music industry, and it's the result of this article, yeah. okay?
One thing I think about, too, is like how to get off the playlist artist protection program. You know, I like the song, but I have no idea who you are.
Yeah.
I think about this with certain DJs, like if they're a DJ featured on like a hip hop song or whatever. They'll give themselves a shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Master Max, whatever, in the back of the track, like their own yeah. signature. They're not even the main yeah. artist, but they're like the featured DJ and you see it more like hip hop stuff. It'd be like, oh, little whatever, so-and-so in the house. It's like, well, that's branding. That's the way you can hear even if you don't look at your phone, you're hearing the artist's name in the song.
How about that? That's a brilliant pivot.
Do you mix in like your name or
That's a brilliant pivot.
Does every one of your streams end with giftfrombrent.com? You know, like, is there a way to do that?
No, but how about this? How about this? Okay, so Brent, now we're talking about how to honor the digital platform.
Right.
This is what I'm talking about right here, right? So how about this? Let's say you're Tim McGraw and you're dropping your new record and you know it's going to go on the streaming. Or let's say you're not Tim McGraw. Let's say you're a new artist.
Yeah.
Let's say you're Hardy. Right?
Okay.
Hardy's getting a lot of love, okay, but maybe a lot of people aren't dialed into the fact that he's Hardy.
Right.
How about starting that track out when you master it, like you do this in the studio with the radio bumper that you would do when you're on radio tour?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Hardy. We're coming to you live from Nashville. This is our new track, blah, blah, blah. Shout out to so-and-so. We love you guys. Check us out at boom, 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 boom. And here comes the song.
Yeah.
Why not do that?
Exactly.
Now I just made my nipples hard. Is that wrong?
I do what I can. So, because like if you're streaming on your our lady friend, you know, that will answer our questions for us if we say her name. If you're streaming on there, if you're, you know, it's not a visual, or you'd have to pick up your phone, whatever. Give it to them in the audio, or depending on your, you know, so like with hip hop and stuff, it is not uncommon to say your own name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just doing shout outs. You're doing that kind of stuff. Great. So that's already kind of baked in and not super weird. It'd be a more unusual for country. It'd be weird to like on the radio, maybe, if you do that bumper.
Yep.
But for the streaming, you know, why not put something like that or some sort of identifier where people can find you and then you can grab their data.
Be your own damn DJ and put it in the track.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, right? It's a little interruptive, but who cares? Like, it's in the playlist. Mm-hmm. You can't skip past it. You know what I mean?
It's like if you do a 5-second intro.
Yeah, you'd have to go, by the time you go to do it, it's gone.
It's gone.
Like, I think that's brilliant. And, okay, let's take it to another level. Let's say that you, I forget, like, he's changed labels, like, he's changed underwear, but let's say you're on Tim McGraw's label, which is he back at Big Machine? He went away.
Good point. I don't know.
I don't know. But okay, so let's say that's one of your big artists on the label, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this new up-and-coming artist. Well, if you're going to get this new up-and-coming artist in front of a new audience, and let's say the Tim McGraw's audience would love this new artist that you have, and then you make a deal in any way that you can with the artist that has the audience right now, like Tim McGraw, what if Tim McGraw did as if they were on tour and maybe they are going on tour this summer? What if Tim McGraw is also on there with the new artist going, hey y'all, this is Tim McGraw and I'm going to introduce you to this new boy right here. He's going to go on a tour with me this year. We can't wait to see you. Blah, blah, blah. Like, see, now this
I thought
is
about
so-
that too. Yeah. But I hadn't said it, but yeah, I mean, why not? Why do you have to intro yourself? As again, what you say, if we say we're cool, it's only 50% true. If you say we're cool, it's 100% true. So why not get somebody who is going to put you over? And that
Okay. For that matter, how about do that with like a contest for an audience where your fan audience, where you're like, hey, you all give us shout outs and do the bumper for this, like what they call what they call the post, like a DJ post would do. And you do the bumper for this and you could even make it like a post, like a DJ post.
Yeah.
Which maybe messes with the song a little bit, but that's all that you put to streaming. And maybe the clean version is behind a paywall without the post. But the way the DJs talk over the music right up until the lyric starts, they call that posting up. And you've put the contest out to your fan base, and the ones who win are going to go on this track and get a million streams. You know what I mean? Like, that's we're such big fans of these guys right here. Like, we love them. And you're going to love this song. And we won this contest. We can't believe it. And it's just like excitement.
Yeah. I mean, what a great way to promote that you got the thing on streaming, engage your fans, add value to them, make it a whole conversation. And then for my next track coming up, here's a song, blah, 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 you know, send it in.
Yeah.
Whew, how cool is that?
I mean, that's thinking about honoring the digital platform there, right? Mm-hmm. And also kind of still scratching the same itch as it, because it feels like a radio bumper. I always like that, the radio bumper stuff. You know what I mean?
Except like, when I was trying to dub the song off, I'm like, shut up, DJ. I'm trying to get the intro to Amarillo by Morning, but you're talking over it. This is not going to sound good.
Well, you're talking about
my...
the post. You're talking about the post up.
Yeah,
the post. I mean, just like the station identification things that you do, that artists would do, you know, like, this is Johnny D from Kid Gypsy. We love 98.8 The Rock. This is our new song, blah, 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 you know. Like, that stuff is kind of cool because you get a little bit of the personality of the artist. Mm-hmm. And how brilliant is that? So that's a There's three different pivots. That just happened.
There we go.
That just happened right now. All right, so moving on. The timing of Keller's observation comes at an interesting three-way junction in the history of the music business. On one road, the value of proven hit songs is rocketing to record highs, driven in part by acquisitive music companies. That means they're acquiring, like Hypnosis Songs Fund. I don't know how to pronounce that.
I think it's Hypnosis.
I think the G is silent. Hypnosis Songs Fund. There's a weird G in there. Real G's run silent like lasagna. That's a lyric from Lil Wayne. It's so good. Hypnosis Song Fund, Primary Wave, plus relative newcomers like Irving Azoff's iconic artists group. So these guys are just buying up catalogs, mm-hmm. and they're going to monetize these catalogs through like a stock market kind of a play because of the regular consumption, the regular cash flow that the catalogs create, okay? Yeah. Hurtling down the other two roads are respectively the recorded music business and artificial intelligence technology, okay? So these two are potentially on a collision course that should, if you join the dots, already be ringing alarm bells in record company A&R departments. A couple of weeks ago, Music Business Worldwide reported that Big Hit Entertainment, the company behind K-pop megastars BTS, had invested $4 billion, KRW, that's Korean money, approximately $3.6 million, into Korea-based artificial intelligence company Supertone. Which Supertone claims that its AI tech can create hyper-realistic and expensive voice not distinguishable from real humans. So they can even make the voice completely from artificial intelligence. Wow. Supertone additionally claims that its singing voice synthesis, SVS is what it is for short, technology, can learn songs in a specific style and then mimic what it's learned even over new compositions. AI performed music is nothing new. At the start of 2020, US-based digital agency Space 150 modeled Travis Scott's sonic and vocal style via artificial intelligence, with the experiment producing an original AI-composed track with wild results. So if you haven't heard this track from Travis Scott, by the way, it's really like a brand new version of T-Pain. It's so friggin' tuned on purpose. It sounds mechanical. So. Yeah. I mean, wild results maybe, but let's see that with a Barbra Streisand song, or let's see that with Travis Tritt.
Yeah.
Let's see that with a singing mofo that can throw down. And, you know, it's easy to do that crap. But Supertone is set to take things one step further. The company recently made headlines for using its SVS technology, that's the singing voice synthesis, to resurrect the singing voice of South Korean folk superstar Kim Kwang Suk, with the resultant cloned voice debuted on Korean television show, The Competition of the Century, AI versus Human. Company's chief operating officer told CNN that, I'm not going to read his name, in January of another hypothetical use for SDS. He said, BTS is really busy these days, and it's unfortunate if they can't participate in content due to lack of time. So this is like one of the biggest artists on the planet right now. Again, BTS is the group, the Korean supergroup that had just as many people watching them watch the Grammys as watch the Grammys this year. Okay, like two nights ago. So if BTS uses our technology when making games or audiobooks or dubbing an animation, for instance, they wouldn't necessarily have to record their vocals in person.
Oh, it's almost like we're doing the CGI stuff. Like you come in, we scan your face, blah, blah, blah. And now we have, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin showing up in Rogue One when that actor's been dead.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like CGI actor shows, we resurrect them or whatever.
So this is by the way, this is a real thing right now because we'll get into it more in the article, but when the Korean company did an IPO last year, which is an initial public offering on the stock market, some pointed out that the Big Hit's reliance on the BTS brand, the one artist, was a risky bet for investors because at the time that they went public with their stock, nearly 90% of Big Hit, which is the company, Big Hit's revenues in the first half of 2020 were because of BTS, right? And in theory, Supertone's SVS technology could be used to learn every song in the BTS catalog and then replicate the vocal styling of each member of the band for future recordings. And when you consider that the average age of the BTS's members right now is 26 years old, and that each of them is likely to enter Korean government-mandated military service when they turn 30, they got they're supposed to be doing that now, but they got a pass from the government to continue to do this, mm-hmm. right? But at some point, they got to pay the piper, theoretically, here.
Yeah.
It's only sensible that Big Hit would now buy into tools that can help maintain BTS's popularity, even when the band is unavailable. Mm. So Big Hit already has a business line dubbed Artistic Indirect Involvement that sees it uses the name and likeness of BTS for advertising and brandness exercises without requiring the band's active participation. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But could this ever extend into their speaking and singing voices? Question mark. Yet, even if such an experiment blew up in the face of Big Hit, like if they fail on this miserably, it wouldn't mean the end of the rise of virtual artists. So League of Legends fictional K-pop band, K/DA, and this is a complete, just like you said, Brent,
mm-hmm.
they're digitally created characters. They have over 440,000 followers on Twitter and over 500,000 on Instagram, and the tracks have been streamed hundreds of millions of times on Spotify alone.
Now, does it have... I mean, obviously it has people behind it in some respect, but how far behind it are the people? Like, is it,
well,
it's not like Gorillaz where it's the, you just never see them, that you see the cartoon of them, but it's really them making the music.
It's kind
of
like that though. It's kind of like that, okay. But with digital, with differently. Yeah. It's almost exactly like that. Okay. Right. Except for
real people are making the music.
Real people are making the music. Okay. Right. Okay. Now this is interesting because the artist never gets old in this situation, right? The Simpsons have been on the air for 30 years
right.
because the Simpsons stay the same age, yeah. right? You can't do that in real life. So, the band's video for Pop Stars has been viewed over 420 million times on YouTube, right? So if Lucas Keller is right, and the avalanche of new music hitting Spotify combined with playlist culture, in quotes, playlist culture, is making young people care increasingly more about the song than their performer, examples like KDA, which is the completely fabricated group, raise difficult questions over the need of real-life artists to record hit music. So speaking to Music Business Worldwide last summer, Roy LaManna, CEO of digital distribution and services company Vidaya, which has worked with Kanye West, Akon, Post Malone, Lil Pump, commented on this very topic. His words gave reason for pause at the time. Post Big Hit's investment into Supertone, they seem to be possibly prophetic that they're going down this road. LaManna noted that Fortnite maker Epic Games and its 40% owner Tencent had recently acquired 3Lateral, which Epic calls the leading developer of digital human technology. So they're making this sort of, what do you call it?
Avatars and
yeah.
Holograms? Yeah. Or
holograms, yeah. So LaManna pointed out that such tech can scan artists and put those artists into a virtual environment, like you were talking about, Brent, mm-hmm. with that movie, with the Star Wars movie.
Stuff, yeah.
As well as actually creating content without human artists involved at a very low cost, right? So it's a scary idea, he continued. I'm going to unpack this. Don't freak out, everybody, okay? But the reason is it's even feasible is because the big problem in the music business right now is understanding the difference between the artist and the song. Added LaManna, think about it. The virtual likeness of an artist, it doesn't get old. It doesn't get angry. It doesn't argue with you.
Doesn't right? get addicted to substances. And
to drugs.
End up in
yeah.
rehab.
Yeah.
It doesn't
say stupid shit like when get busted by TMZ.
Yeah.
For, you know.
That never goes off script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look at Scooter Braun and Taylor Swift bringing out the personal fallout to the surface. If Taylor wasn't doing that, no one would know about the situation and no one would care, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
If she wasn't making a stink about it. So what if Taylor wasn't an artist but an avatar?
Mm-hmm.
Basically a corporately owned video game character, you know,
yeah.
to your point. In a dystopia with no need for real life artists, the human pop industry will naturally see its commercial impetus tip away from performers and towards songwriting and production. Towards songwriting and production. One could argue it's already headed that way. Commenting on this notion, Hignosis Songs Fund founder Merck Mercuriadis told Music Business Worldwide in a recent interview that songwriters are delivering the most important component to a record company, which is hits,
mm-hmm, right? Baby.
And he suggested if you're running a major record company today, having a relationship with songwriters such as Andrew Watt, Stephen Johnson, Benny Bianco, Ali Tembusi, Ryan Tedder, and Mark Ronson becomes more important to you than your relationship with any artist on your roster, right? So that's all the farther I'm going to take the mm-hmm. article, because there's some other stuff after that, but it's not necessary to talk about that. But no matter what's interesting is songwriters become more important right?
Yeah, because we're not AI yet.
Because you're not AI yet. But here's the thing. I don't trip on AI, because I think if this becomes a fad, if this becomes a thing and more people do this, then it's going to make the guy or the girl that comes out of the woodwork, who's nothing but heart and soul, way more special.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's just something that they can't do yet. And it's not like, I mean, you can copy all the old artist stuff,
right,
but you're rehashing stuff that's already been out there. But, you know, nobody sings like your favorite singer, right? Yeah. Nobody sings like Barbara Streisand. Nobody sings like Prince does, or thinks like Prince does, or writes like Prince does. And the most prolific artists that, you know, U2, I mean, they have a political back, and nobody sings like Bono does, you know? So you can make another Bono or keep Bono going if you want, God bless. But when somebody new comes along, what makes them new and makes them fresh is that they don't sound like anybody else. So I think that the more sterile that sort of horizon gets, the easier it is to pop above the din of it all, because you can just blow doors and sing your butt off.
Well, that's where Spotify is going to go. They're just going to make their Spotify original, our AI artist.
Yeah. Or I think Spotify's, I think they're going to podcasting and they're betting on that. And I think there'll be a service of sorts that can be of benefit to artists and to labels, but not in the way that they're working now. You know, Spotify collects all the money first and distributes it and takes a chunk of it.
It could be a place where, like, Universal Music Streaming says, we send our singles or certain things over there, but the exclusive stuff is over here.
Yeah. And maybe they send it all over there, but they're paying a fee to Spotify and all the money comes to...
Yeah. When the leverage changes, the deal changes.
It's unsustainable. So guys, I mean, put some thought into that here. Like, we keep talking about honoring the digital platform and how to go down that. We just saw Brent and I just go down a rabbit hole today that I straight up was not expecting. That was not pre-planned. I'm just like, oh, that's awesome. Like, yeah, like, why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we putting the little vocal bumper at the beginning of it? It's not in character for a rock artist or a country artist per se to hype themselves in the midst of a song. It wouldn't work the way it works for hip hop. It works there. It's cool there. It's part of that landscape, and it's kind of neat. Rappers got hype guys. That's what they
do.
They hype their rapper.
Could you have a audio logo? Okay. So it's a stylized name, an audio logo. I've just coined that phrase. Where
you just
somebody
did,
goes,
and I totally get it.
Yeah,
like, there's another one.
It's somebody else's,
this episode is gold.
It's somebody else's voice that comes on and goes, Johnny D, boom, and song.
Yeah.
And whatever kind of, you know, a little fiddle lick.
Think about, like, how many artists are, like, Prince, you know, like, he's got that little holler that he does, and it's so signature of him. Well,
that works for him because we already know him and we know his stuff. Like, a new artist, it would be like...
But he created that.
He did,
right?
So that...
And I think about, like, David Lee Roth. I think about, like, you could have taken a million, any excerpt from any interview that he's ever done. You know, hibbity bip bop 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 and Glenn Halen down in Van Halen down in Glen Halen at the US Festival, baby. Come on! You know, it's something like... And then it's just like, whoa! That's who he is. That's what makes it so exciting. And there it is. But creating that, whether you've got another person do it or, but having an audio logo is, wow, that's,
There goes the rest of your day, Johnny. Have fun.
There goes the rest of my day. I mean, think about the Lonely Highway Boys. You know that's going to be a three-bar harmony thing.
Oh, yeah.
Think about, like,
them
what makes them.
Lonely Highway, whatever, in some way that fits them. Uh-huh. And then boom, goes into the whatever song is being.
And in a big three-bar harmony. Or Keith Urban with a guitar lick, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out, he's like, it's Keith Urban, man. This is my new song, blah, blah, blah. Let me know what you think. Hit me up on socials, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just a quick little bumper and then you're into the song. Yeah. So it's not so disruptive.
Or you have the hype man do it for you. Keith Urban's new one. You know?
Yeah. Or again, like, you have your fans do it for you and create a contest like that. Because, like you said, then it's somebody else going, oh my God, we discovered this dude like 6 months ago and we can't stop playing the record. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So killer. So smart. That's so smart, Brent. You're good.
You think I'd make more money? I'll just give this away, Johnny.
Well, we're just getting started. But listen, guys, let me help you with this stuff. Reach out for help, for individual consultation, okay? There's a lot of stuff to unpack. And sometimes just a 1 hour session, man, one-on-one. We do a personal consultation, connect some of those dots. We can express to you, here's what your assets are, and here's what we need to capitalize on, and here's a way that you can put those together and make yourself some revenue sooner. Let's talk about it. Email me at info@daredevilproduction.com. Production is singular. There is no S. Put consultation in the subject line. Spoiler alert, we do charge for this because it's an hour of my time, okay? But I don't think we've had anybody walk away upset yet. They're all just like, okay, enough. Like, thank God it's only an hour. My brain's spinning.
Exactly.
And I got a laundry list of crap I got to get done. But you're going to be more focused on what you got to do.
Right.
So there you have it, guys. Make sure you join the client community, subscribe to the podcast, leave a rating and review, and tell a friend about this episode, because this is the bomb. And I want to see who the first artists that are going to do this. Like, why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you make it part of the track?
Amen.
I mean, I love it. So anyway, this podcast exists because we want you guys to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.
The top.
That's so sick.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.